Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Linda Ellerbee. I was diagnosed with breast cancer 11 years ago, and I know how scary it can be. Everything your doctor says sounds like a foreign language. HER2-new, oncogene, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How can you decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the Internet where you can learn how to say those words and find out what they mean. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Good morning, and welcome to a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes, and I want to thank you so much if you're listening this morning. This is a very serious topic here, breast cancer. A lot of women are being diagnosed with breast cancer, but then maybe not following up. There are many women, low-income women, more likely not to even get tested to find out whether they have breast cancer or not because of fear, maybe because if they don't think they have insurance, they can't get screened, they can't afford the screening. Now they've been changing the rules and regulations of how often people should be screened in our government here in the United States. It's a very important issue, and my feeling is everyone needs to get tested as soon as possible. If you have a history of it in your family, as some people do, maybe even sooner, recommendations are age 50, maybe you need to go at 40 or 30. This morning I have two breast cancer survivors on the show who started a wonderful program, Praise is the Cure, and they're having a great event next Saturday, October 2nd and October 3rd at Mount Airy Church of God in Christ at 6401 Ogontz Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Again, that's next Saturday, October 2nd and Sunday, October 3rd at Mount Airy Church of God in Christ at 6401 Ogontz Avenue. And my guests this morning are Anita Connor and Carrie Connor. Good morning.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
How are you? Is this Anita?
This is Anita.
I'm here too.
And Carrie? Okay. I want to say thank you so much for taking your time today to be on the show and share your story. Let's just first start off with the fact that you're a mother and daughter team.
Yes, we are.
So who received the news first?
I'm Anita. And I was diagnosed with breast cancer 12 years ago. I'm a 12-year survivor, thank goodness.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And Carrie, she's a 2-year survivor.
So when you first received the news, Anita, what was going through your mind?
You know what, Joy, 12 years ago, we weren't talking about breast cancer like we're talking about it now. So I didn't know anybody that had breast cancer. I didn't know, I wasn't really aware of breast cancer, as a illness like it is affecting our community. So when my husband and I found out about it, we were really kind of devastated. I found the lump myself, and actually I had found it 2 years before actually being diagnosed. And my doctor kept telling me that, yeah, there's a lump there, but it's not a cancerous lump. So I kind of found the lump when I was approximately 38, 39 years old. And I kept getting, my doctor kept telling me that it was nothing for me to worry about. And so I had an ultrasound, and they were like, yeah, there's a lump, but there's nothing for you to worry about. Mm. And it wasn't until 2 years later when I actually was going to have another procedure done. And I was going to have the lump removed because it was annoying and it was growing, and they said that I could have it removed. And at the time I was to have it removed, the doctor that was doing the surgery said that he wanted to biopsy it right away because he didn't agree with the other findings. And when they did a biopsy, they found out that I did have cancer. And indeed it was. I was at an advanced stage at that point. It had spread to my lymph nodes in a significant way. And I had to have two major surgeries. I had to have both a radical mastectomy and a total hysterectomy, and then go through quite extensive treatments, including stem cell transplant. So I am so blessed to be here today because my prognosis was not good.
Wow, that's just amazing. I mean, it takes a lot of strength, and thank God you did have your family with you. There are many women who don't have a family support system, and you yourself said you didn't even know anybody who had breast cancer, so you didn't have an idea of what you would have to go through, you know?
I didn't have any idea what I would have to go through, what it meant, how it was going to impact my life. I didn't have any idea at all, I did what most people do. You hear the big C word. My father died from cancer, and you hear the big C word, and so, you know, the first thing you think of is a death sentence. And, you know, you go through your pity party. And but what kicked in for me, you know, early on was just trying to get things in order, you know, so that my family would be taken care of. And, you know, as I kind of hustled and went through that process, you know, my faith finally kicked in, and I knew that God was going to spare me and give me a second chance on life. But it's certainly something that I didn't know anything about and was not prepared, you know, to deal with.
Well, let me just read here from the CDC's website just about breast cancer. Not counting some kinds of skin cancer, breast cancer in the United States is the most common cancer in women, no matter what your race or ethnicity. The most common cause of death from cancer among Hispanic women. The second most common cause of death from cancer among white, black, Asian, Pacific Islander, and American Indian / Alaska Native women. What I've been reading is that, unfortunately, as African American women, we are going to get our mammograms, according to a New York Times article just recently, July 2010. We are going to get our mammograms at the same rate as Caucasian women, white women, but we are dying at more than white women.
Right.
So what are you finding since you started? You started this program in 2007?
Yes. This is our fifth anniversary. So we actually started the program in 2005.
2005,
okay. Our fifth anniversary.
So what did you find when you started with the women? Were they happy? They were sad? They were, I mean, like, wow, I didn't know anybody else was around that was going through this.
Yeah, that's the general consensus. You know, we as African-American women, you know, first of all, we're always taking care of everybody else first. You know, and maybe that's a women thing, but it's definitely prevalent in the African-American women families. We're always taking care of everybody else before we take care of ourselves. You know, and so one of the things we wanted to do was make sure we have a fellowship so we can focus on taking care of ourselves. The other thing is that, you know, we don't like doctors. We're scared. We don't trust doctors. That's very, you know, also very well known in our community, is that, you know, we're scared for lots of reasons. Some are scared. We've talked to some women who had a mammogram, but they would never go back and get the results because they were scared. You know, so that's also a factor that plays into this, in addition to being uninsured and underinsured. And so there's lots of different factors that play into the fact why we don't get the screenings and treatments that we need. But so, you know, we figured if we can come together and fellowship together and share together, that, you know, will make the road easier, a lot easier for somebody.
Well, let me read here from the National Cancer Institute, who develops breast cancer. It says breast cancer is most frequently diagnosed non-skin cancer in American women. Estimated 213,000 American women will be diagnosed with breast cancer. This was as of 2006.
Mm-hmm.
It increases as you get older, and many women still develop breast cancer, have no known risk. So you mentioned earlier that your father had cancer, but there are many women, according to the National Cancer Institute, who had no other risk involved, maybe genetic. Now, Carrie, I want to bring you into the conversation. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Carrie, so your mom had cancer. What were you going through when she got this diagnosis?
Actually, you know, I haven't known anyone that ever had breast cancer, so I wasn't really sure, you know, how serious it was until the doctors actually told us that they weren't sure what her prognosis would be. They actually told us that they weren't sure whether or not she was going to make it or not. And at that point, I realized that this was a very serious disease. She went through, the advancements in breast cancer have come so far. 12 years ago, the things that my mom had to do, it was scary. I mean, she was giving herself needles. She was doing chemotherapy 24 hours a day where they would attach a bag to her and get constant chemotherapy. She would be in isolation for 2 weeks at a time. Sometimes she had constant setbacks from the chemotherapy, which would put her back in the hospital. I had just graduated from Howard University and just started working at our CPA firm when she was diagnosed. So it was a very scary time period for our family. Not to mention, people really didn't talk about breast cancer. So I didn't have really anybody to talk to about what I was feeling.
That's a really big issue. Both of you mentioning, you know, you don't know anybody who had it. And I watched a video on your website, Praise is the Cure. Again, I want to mention that you're having an event next Saturday, October 2nd, and Sunday, October 3rd, at the Mount Airy Church of God in Christ at 6401 Ogons Avenue. And on your website, you have a small video of what you, I guess, was it 2009, and a lot of women just, they don't know anybody who had it, but then, you know, it's surprising that so many women have it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably somebody near us. There's somebody near us that maybe they're just not talking about it or they're not telling their story. And that's what the video really emphasized. One of the spokespeople, I guess you have, Renee Davis, a model, was saying, share the story with people. She spoke to her daughter who was 14 and had found a lump at 14.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, you know, it was nothing to worry about. She said it was an enlarged lymph node, but that is, I think, so key, is that sharing the story helps other people, because everybody keeps saying, I didn't know anybody. But there's obviously people who have it, you know, so that's what, one of the reasons I want to have the show this morning. So now, Anita, your daughter finds out she has breast cancer. Now what?
Well,
you went through it and she saw you go through it, so... Were you better prepared, you feel, or was it worse, like, oh, no, I don't want her to go through it as a mother? I mean, I have a daughter. I can't imagine if my daughter came to me, you know, saying I have breast cancer, I would be so scared for her, you know.
Well, you know, the first thing that goes through your mind as a parent, especially as a breast cancer patient and survivor, is like, oh, gosh, you know, I passed this on to my daughter. So that was my first, you know, that was my first reaction. And then my second reaction was, well, you know, I got through this. I know she's going to get through this. And I really was a little angry with her because she knew that better than I did. You know, her concern was not that she wasn't going to get through it. Her concern was, you know, more of a vanity issue. You know, I'm going to lose my hair. I'm not married. I'm not going to get a husband. And, you know, I'm going to lose my breasts. And so I was more angry at her because, you know, she went right to the whole vanity. We all go through that vanity piece because we do lose a lot of our femininity, but that's where it took her. So my first concern, like I said, was because I kind of felt that, you know, oh, my goodness, I'm passing this gene, this horrible thing on to my daughter. And so we actually did do the genetic testing and found out that I didn't have the gene. You know, so something else going on, obviously.
Something else going on.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things they talk about in helping with preventing breast cancer, because, I mean, some people, well, there's nothing I can do, but there are many things. One is getting screened regularly, controlling your weight and exercise.
Yeah.
Knowing your family history. Again, that goes back to communication. I mean, to be honest, most people don't talk to their dad, their mom, their grandparents. I mean, I remember my grandparents were very traditional. I never even called them by their first name. So for me to go ask them about some kind of health issue,
right?
You know, you're kind of tentative about that. It's just a conversation you don't have. But it's so important. This is one of the things the CDC is saying, know your family history. I think not just of breast cancer, of any type of illness, because it could save your life. And then you mentioned about the genetic testing. You took that test. You didn't have the gene, but then your daughter still got it. So it's not a getting the genetic testing is not the end of the road. You still have to continue. So now, she were you able to give her some tips and tricks of how to get over some of the things that you went through, the side effects of the treatment?
Well, again, you know, things are a lot better now than she didn't have to go through a lot of what I had to go through, which was a blessing. You know, it's really just but you do have to go through the journey. It is a journey. You do have to go through the process, and, you know, you're not going to feel well. You have a lot of doctors. You have a lot of surgery to get through. There's a lot of decisions to make, especially at a young age with Carrie, and she could tell you more. But, you know, she was only 33 years old, and, you know, when you have breast cancer, like, at the stage that she had it, you know, the issue is, you know, are we going to be able to have kids again? You know, there's all kinds of other issues. I was married, I already had two kids, but, you know, she had to deal with those issues. She was not married. Was she going to be able to have kids again? So just being there emotionally for her as she went through this journey, you know, helping her with her young daughter, you know, she not having the strength and just being there and being supportive and going to the doctor. And that's the kind of thing that Carrie needed. you know, through her journey. And it's, the journey is different for everybody, you know, so she could tell you a little bit better about what, you know, how, where she, where it was hard for her.
Yeah, Karen, so.
I always say, Joy, that, you know, my mom having breast cancer before me was probably a blessing for me, because she was my biggest advocate. You know, it's, I feel so bad for those people that don't have anybody. I mean, I had somebody go to the doctors with me. The doctors are saying so much, I could only pick up, you know, certain pieces of it. And I had my mom there who was able to hear the rest. If she didn't like one of the doctors that I was going to, she made it known. And I was able to get different doctors. And, you know, just to have someone in your corner that has been through the process, that knows what's supposed to happen, that can evaluate situations after they had it and tell you what they would have done differently, I just think that that was the biggest blessing I could have had. And that's why when women come up to me and ask me questions, I make sure that I make the time, you know, to talk to them and to call them back, because God did give me that blessing to have someone there for me. And I know a lot of women don't have that because they don't have people that they could talk to let them know, you know, what they can expect and what they're going to go through.
Well, your name of your event, the program is Praise is the Cure. So, Carrie, I mean, religion and faith has been a key component here. What about people, what would you say to someone, maybe they don't believe in God, what would you say to them, what can they use, do you think, to get through, or, I mean, do you feel that that's the only way to get through, if through your faith, or were there other things, like you said, your family and stuff, that, what would you say to someone?
I concentrated a lot, I had a 2-year-old daughter at the time, and I mean, I concentrated on my faith, but I also looked around at my family, and I fought because there were things that I wanted to make sure that, you know, I would see later on in life. I wanted to be there for my daughter, you know, when she grew up. I mean, she was only 2. If something were to happen to me, I don't even know if she would remember who I was. And I just wanted to make sure that I was there for her. And I just wanted to just fight to live. I just felt like that there was additional things that I was supposed to do in life, and I hadn't finished them yet. So you know,
had a real fighting spirit, and that's, I think, important, the mental aspect. When anybody's dealing with any type of illness, your mental state really can affect your recovery, you know. So I think that's great that you had that fighting spirit. Let's talk a little bit about your Praise is the Cure. You have a health fair. You have a children's festival. You're having a pamper party. That's wonderful. I mean, it must be the fatigue, I can't imagine, of the chemo and just emotional, you know, up and downs of, you know, is today going to be a good day or not? Losing your hair, like you said, maybe losing your breast. In your case, Anita, you had also a hysterectomy.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like wearing on the soul. Tell us about the pamper party.
Well, you know, the primary objective of our initiative is breast cancer awareness and to celebrate our breast cancer patients and survivors. So on the 2nd, we have a private pampering party for breast cancer patients and survivors, and we have approximately 30 technicians. They can get anything done from a massage, a chair massage, a full body massage, a foot reflexology, and a hand massages. They can get their hair done. Whatever it is they want to do that day, they can get done. We have a little sister talk session, which that's what you viewed from last year, for women who want to share. They get delicious meals and gifts. There will be resource specialists there for them to talk to. So it's just a great time during the party. And then we have a Celebrate Life concert. So we transition into a processional, into the sanctuary, where we actually are serenaded in by the men singing, and then there's going to be a great concert, you know, Celebrate Life concert, you know, in honor of the breast cancer patients and survivors. So we are prepared to host, as our guests, 300 breast cancer patients and survivors that day. So,
do you still have space for people to sign up? Can they still sign up on the website?
People to sign up for any of our activities. There is something going on Saturday for everyone. But there's still space for breast cancer patients and survivors. If anybody wants to sign up, just call 215-635-1025, or they can go to our website and register as well at www.getdc.org. That's getdc.org, and register for the pamper party or any one of the other activities.
That's wonderful. Again, I have information about the event on my page here, Blog Talk Radio, but I also put a link right to the site so
Great.
People can go there. And when you go to the site, you can register for the various events. One of the things I like about your event is that you're bringing men into the fold because
yes.
you said as a woman you don't know anybody who had breast cancer. Well, imagine a man. Men don't talk about much of anything, you know, the football, the basketball,
right.
Maybe golf. Feelings and emotions and things of that nature, having to deal with health issues, they go to the doctor way less than women do statistically, and they wait way longer. I talked to a guy, I remember the other day, he had actually fractured his ankle, and he said for 2 months he was walking around, and he was like, a little ache, I'm getting older, that's all it is.
Right.
He had a fractured ankle, you know, I'm like, what, you waited 2 months? So for women, you cannot wait 2 months to go back to the doctor to get your test results. You cannot wait, you know, a year to, you know, ignore this lump that you might have found
right.
in your breast. But you have men in your life, your husband, you know, how does he deal with it? Maybe brothers, maybe fathers of daughters, carry your father. So bringing the men into the fold is so important because they need to be educated because maybe they could actually save a woman's life.
Exactly. You know, and the men really don't know. A lot of men don't know what to do, what to say. It doesn't have to be about breast cancer. It could be about any illness or anything. They don't know, you know, that a woman, their counterpart or their mother, their sister, their, like you say, their aunt, their colleague, whoever it is, they just don't know what to say or what to do. So we have a special program called Real Men Wear Pink, and this year their workshop topic is taking care of others and yourself. So they're going to talk about how to be better caregivers, and we actually give them a little wallet card, a little note for their wallets they can pull out with tips on things that they can do. But we teach them how to be better. It's for men only. It's like barbershop talk, and they'll learn how to be better caregivers. But we're also going to talk about men wellness issues at that workshop. So we have a great panel lined up for them this year. And last year, you know, we had 100 men. And so this
wow.
year, we're already over 100 men that are registered. So really, they are interested. They want to know. They want to help. They want to be there, you know, for the women in their lives. So this component has been so, so important, and it's been really, really just growing, and everybody's so excited about it.
One of the things I want to go back to is I mentioned that Renee Davis talked to her young daughter who at 14 found a lump. If you're listening to this show, please talk to your daughters. But also men can get breast cancer.
Yes.
A lot of people are not aware of that. Men can get breast cancer also. So this goes back to, again, communication. You have children, you need to talk to them. You may talk to them about sex education, but you need to talk to them about cancer. You need to talk to them about all types of different health issues. Cholesterol, diabetes is rampant in the African-American community. Eating well, you know, obesity, whatever it is, it's going back to communication, educating yourself to maybe save yourself or maybe save a friend. One of the things I do want to mention here in Pennsylvania, but also across the country, many Department of Health agencies have free screenings, free services. But here in Philadelphia, and I'm going to put this link on my website,
mm-hmm.
Healthy Women, 1-800-215-7494. Again, that's Healthy Woman, 1-800-215-7494. It's free services for those who meet the standards. They get a breast examination, mammogram, pelvic examination, and pap smear education about breast self-examination, and full follow-up diagnostic care for if they have an abnormal result. Again, that number is 1-800-215-7494, and that's in Pennsylvania. But you can go to the CDC's website, and they will have a chart there for state-by-state links. So if you're in Connecticut, if you're in California, if you're in Colorado, if you're in Arizona, you can find a place. If you're saying, I don't have any insurance, I can't afford to get a mammogram, that's not an excuse. So please go to the CDC's website. I'll put that link also on my page. And, again, they have a, excuse me, state-by-state chart. But, again, let's mention your website and your phone number, Anita, for if people want to register. What's the phone number again?
The phone number is 215-635-1025. That's 215-635-1025. Or the website is www.getdc.org.
So now, Carrie, what do you plan for the future? Are you going to be doing any other initiatives? Are you going into maybe the schools, talking to young high school women? That's something. Do you have? I know you have children, but what about teenage girls? They're going through puberty, trying to get to know their bodies. Do you have any initiatives dealing with that?
I recently released a book called My Mommy Has Breast Cancer, But She's Okay. And we're going around the city of Philadelphia for the whole month of October. I'm doing what's called the Maddie Movement, and it's an education awareness program inspiring young children and families to continue the fight. Despite whatever you're going through, if you continue the fight, you can get through it. And the children's book, I actually wrote it based off of my experiences with breast cancer, because like I said, my daughter was at such a young age when I was diagnosed, and I found that there were other younger mothers that also needed something to read to their children or something to explain to their children what they were going through. So it's a real story of inspiration. That's something that we're going to be focusing on during the Children's Festival. We'll be having story time with the kids where I'll actually be reading the book. And I've gotten a lot of great responses from the book because there's really nothing out there to explain to young children what their moms are going through.
Wonderful. So now can they go to the website? How could they purchase? If somebody wanted to purchase the book for maybe a classroom or just for themselves?
They can purchase from Amazon.com, or they can also go to my website, which is mymommyhasbreastcancer.com.
Wow, that's great. That's very easy to remember, mymommyhasbreastcancer.com. So please, everyone, if you're listening today, check out the website, buy Carrie's book, educate yourself, educate the people around you. And next weekend, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I'm having a show early, but your event is next Saturday, so we need to have a little early just to give people a heads up. Please check out their event happening next Saturday and Sunday. I want to thank both of you so much for coming on this morning, sharing your story. Anita, thank you so much to both of you for starting the organization, because that's why I do my show, is to try to educate people, even educate myself. I learned so much about so many different issues just doing my show, but I also want to try to help others, you know, to learn. So in closing, Anita, what would you say to a woman today if she found out this week, you know, or maybe at your event? What if she found out at your event that she had breast cancer? What are some encouraging words you could say to her?
Well, the first thing, we want to let her know that, you know, breast cancer is not a death sentence. That's the very first thing, so that, you know, and that you have to have faith. Whoever your God is or whoever your higher being is that you have to have, you need that faith, you need something to help you sustain you to kind of to be able to walk that journey. And family is very important, and, you know, so you don't have to keep it all bottled up. You know, we are family. And we will help you get through this, and you will get through this, because we are a living testimony that you will get through this. And so we just want folks to know that it's not a death sentence, but, you know, action, faith without action is dead. So we have to do something about it. We have to take action and take control ourselves.
Well, thank you so much. Again, thank you for coming on the show. Good luck with your event next weekend. Everybody, please check out their website. It's www.getdc.org. And Praise is the Cure is the event. It's happening October 2nd, October 3rd. Please take the time. And if you're a man, you can go. They have a special event just for men. Real men wear pink. So please take the time out to go. You might save somebody's life or your own. Thank you. Have a wonderful Sunday, Anita and Carrie.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Everybody, if you're listening, you can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys. You can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Next Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern, I'm going to be speaking with filmmaker Jenny Phillips about the Dhamma Brothers Project. She took meditation into prisons, and we're going to talk about the results of what happened to the prisoners, what happened to the guards, and even what happened to the trainers that helped the men and learn about meditation. So that's next Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern, the Dhamma Brothers Project. And later on in the month, on October 9th, relationship expert Brandon Aki. On October 16th, I'll be speaking with author Terry Williams about Black Pain. This book deals with African Americans and depression. That's another issue we don't talk about in the African American community, is depression. And so please tune in for those things. And on October 23rd, Khalil Gibran Muhammad, talking about his new book, Condemnation of Race in America. So please just stay tuned. Follow me on twitter.com/joykeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And today, please try to support the breast cancer event next Saturday and Sunday, October 2nd and 3rd, Anita and Carrie Connors' Praise is the Cure event. I'll be posting a link to them and lots of other breast cancer resources on Blog Talk Radio. You have a wonderful Sunday. Thank you.